Live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Coming to you from Rust and Tustin in the state of disrepair.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
Firefox 56 is out, and right around the corner is Firefox Quantum. We are in the golden age of web browsers again.
Again? When was the first time?
Well, Firefox. Well, no, I guess that was when Firefox was the only good browser. I guess we're now in the golden age of... You're right. Well, anyway, it renders things like twice as fast as Chrome. And with that sandboxing plugin that we linked in the show notes for the last episode, you can sign into multiple Gmail accounts, just as an example. And they're all isolated from each other. They have their own set of histories and cookies.
Yeah, that's cool. It'll probably make it worth it for me to use Firefox again.
Yeah, I have it open, but I have my whole audio engine set to pipe just Chrome audio into our conversation. So I'm going to have to set it up for Firefox.
All right. When's the next... Do they have like a date on that?
November 14th or the 18th, one or the other. You can get the beta right now, but I'm just going to stick with the stable release. It's already really fast. All of their performance improvements have really helped. But this is just going to take it from basic, well, almost feature parity with Chrome to faster than Chrome. Firefox is still missing little tiny, like, Mac native features. Like, you can't pinch to zoom like you can in Chrome, or the way you can do it really, really well and really, really fast in Safari.
Okay.
And I've been using Safari a lot because I've been using that MacBook and I've been trying to keep the power usage down. And it's anecdotal, but it looks like Firefox might be more energy efficient than Chrome. But that could be because I don't have a whole bunch of tabs loaded up. It definitely doesn't shut down an old tab in the background. And nothing compares to the way Safari shuts down the tab. It basically stops the tab from running anything in the background.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm constantly looking for reasons to get off of Chrome, but I still have issues with Firefox too, so I don't know. Maybe with Quantum, that'll be enough to make me fully switch back.
I would do a fresh Firefox install, put a couple of extensions on there, none of the old ones that will disable the multi-threading. Then make sure you don't have some browser plugin installed like Flash, and use that. And then if it's something that, like, for whatever reason requires Flash, which is pretty rare nowadays, open it in Chrome.
Yeah.
There's some cool extensions.
Do you think Firefox will ever get built-in Flash?
No. Why would they? It's dead. It's disabled by default on Chrome.
It only uses it when the site requires it.
No, it blocks it from every website unless it's been explicitly whitelisted by Google. Even Google's own Google Finance page, which renders graphs in Flash. Actually, that's a bad example. That one, they've whitelisted it. Google's Google Voice product is blacklisted. Well, not blacklisted. It's just not whitelisted. So the little elements, like the little, you can play the preview of the person's name when they've gone through the call screening to reach you. That plays back with Flash, and you can't whitelist it. It's just deprecated. It's gone. But that's using the old Google Voice UI. All the new stuff is all using native HTML5 playback features.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you couldn't even find a porn site unless it's like in Japan that uses Flash still.
Yeah, it's something I never thought about.
Because it's definitely not whitelisted in Chrome. They were forced to change. YouTube hasn't used Flash in years.
I remember there was the... You could, Well, so I remember in Chrome, there was a preference you would set where it would do HTML, or maybe it was an extension that you had to install.
It was both.
And that was the only way you could do HTML5.
That was 2013, though.
I think they still have that extension on the Chrome web store.
It doesn't do anything anymore. There is zero flash on any part of YouTube. I don't even think their video editor for the YouTube video uploader. Pretty sure that's all HTML5.
Huh. Sorry. What happened this week? It's always the week. It's always the week after the Mac announcements where we have nothing to really go over. I guess they released a 0.1 .1 patch for or update for iOS 11. They didn't put anything in the notes for it though, so I have no idea what
it
actually. Okay. It seems to have no impact on the performance.
Yeah, it was just for Exchange, from what I've read. There was some bug that stopped it from syncing, so I'm sure there were a bunch of angry CEOs that are also geeks and like to update.
Yeah, we didn't get any calls about that particular issue.
It's not uncommon for people to not notice that they can't receive phone calls or emails for 24 hours. But then after that, they won't get off of you for whatever reason it stopped working.
You're going to have to keep talking because that noise in the background is bad.
Oh. Luckily, I've got it all tuned and noise-gated
out.
Sounds
like on a Viking warship.
It's swaying,
boom,
isn't it?
Boom, boom, boom. It's like war drums. And there's guys rowing.
It's the fan. I need to buy a new one. Bringyourwallet.com/donate. Save Nate's ears.
Boom, 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 boom.
Did you ever hear about the Essential phone? It's a phone.
The Essential phone.
Yeah. Just Google that real fast. Consult the book of knowledge. It's a phone. I don't really know who Andy Rubin is. You might want to Google him too. He wanted this fancy phone. Nobody's heard of it. It's rumored to have only sold 5,000 devices. And it looks like they're going to be out of business before they can even launch their second one. Not the second phone, but their second device, which was like some home Echo type device. But it's probably one of the nicest, most high-end Android phones you could buy. It's just too bad it runs Android.
Well, and it's weird for the co-founder creating this device, but it doesn't actually run the latest version of Android.
Really?
I don't think Nougat's the latest version. I think they just announced Oreo or something.
Oh. Well, Android, once everybody gets fired, which would probably be soon, they won't support
for that.
Never mind.
Nougat is... This is confusing, though, because it was initially released August... it was officially released August 22nd, 2016.
Yeah. They announced it a while ago. Was it actually released then?
That was the official release, yeah. And then they updated it to 7.1.2 2 months ago. So it's a full year past its original release, and they're not even on the next version yet.
Well, you're talking about Android?
Android, yeah. So Android 8 is Oreo. General availability for that was August 21st, 2017. So it was released to the public the 21st of last month.
So where's the confusion that they're back?
Because this came out 4 days after the latest. This phone came out 4 days after the latest release of Android, but it's running Nougat, which is a year old. So it is outdated.
Yeah, they weren't running the developer snapshots and keeping up to date. That's a lot of work. Since I've been maintaining a bunch of aliases and a couple of scripts on three platforms, they're all Unix based, but there's little nuances that are different between them all. Ubuntu, OS 10, and FreeBSD. It's kind of a headache to keep them all in sync. It's pretty easy to forget things. So I try to run, I run the daily snapshot of Ubuntu 17.10, which uses GNOME instead of Unity now. I don't know if you know that. They ditched it. They spent all of this time.
They went back. Yeah, I remember that. That was the newest release.
Well, it doesn't come out. I don't know if it's on 17.04 that they are using GNOME, but 17.10 doesn't come out till next month. It doesn't come out till October, hence the 10, which is the year and the month that it's released.
Oh, so it's not, it's still on Unity for now, and then
17.10 will be on GNOME, and I'm currently running it, and it runs on GNOME. Because I'm using the daily snapshot. It works fine. It doesn't. GNOME, I think, looks the same superior. Too. The way that they enhanced it looks the same. Yeah, and GNOME filled in all of the... They developed all the features that Unity wanted. They just did it before Unity. So there's no point in reinventing the wheel. They don't need the proprietary part. They were going to make their own Windows server too, but it's just the development costs are too high. And that business, they basically want to run it as like a skeleton crew to make it look good, because the rumor is they're looking to get acquired. And the worst possible news would be if Microsoft bought them.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Because look at what Oracle did when they bought Sun. They closed sourced Solaris, and they just killed it this week. And that was 7 years ago. So 7 years ago, they bought it, closed sourced it. Took a big steamy dump in it, let it ferment for a couple of years, and then closed off support. They're done. There's like a whole bunch of other products too that they've turned into turds. I think they own Taleo. What else? Java. That's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least the performance of everything that uses Java seems to be shit. It's a widely used technology, obviously.
I'm looking at the website for this phone right now. The fucking case of this thing is made out of titanium.
Pretty cool. The original, the original gray PowerBook from Apple was a titanium PowerBook. And they found that whatever coating they put on it to cover up the fact that it's like that weird, blued, odd, like rainbow coloration of titanium, that the paint or whatever it was that they would use, it's not anodizing, it's something, I don't know, that would flake off the titanium. So that'll probably happen to this device. It'll end up having Boba Fett wear. Unless they have some new way to bond stuff to titanium. But that's a pretty cool, exotic material to be using for a phone. It's the iPhone of Android devices. It's just, it runs Android. So it's going to be all jerky. And it's going to perform like Java.
Hmm.
Speaking of poor performance, how is the Apple Watch? On Apple Watch, what do they call it? Watch OS 4?
Mine's fine. I haven't really had any issues with it. It seems... One thing that I noticed, it is kind of weird, and I don't know if it's maybe just because it's a Bluetooth issue, because they still haven't fixed that problem with the iPhone, with iOS 11. But when I try and control my podcasts or control music, the controls on the Apple Watch freeze up. They don't respond. But that happens, so, I mean, that's only happened maybe two or three times, because I don't control it that often. But I thought, that's kind of weird. It's like not doing anything when I'm tapping on it. But other than that, I mean, I haven't really, it seems just about as fast as WatchOS 3 was. Although, I could see how it would really slow down if you had the first gen. Which I did. I had the first gen, and then the battery expanded on it, And then they replaced mine with the Series 1, which had the dual core processor in it. So I've only had the experience of using a faster Apple Watch for like the last 5 or 6 months, coming from like a year and a half of using the slow original version. So maybe that's why I'm not seeing the difference, because maybe I was so used to slow originally. But I could see how, because it seemed like when I went from 2 to 3 on my first, on my original first gen Apple Watch, I could, like when I went from OS 2 to 3, I noticed a significant difference. I think there's probably a podcast with me bitching about it, how slow it is. So I can only imagine how much worse it would be with watchOS 4 on the single core Apple Watch.
Yeah, you probably have to do it before you go to bed.
Man, you know what's a problem with the Apple Watch, and it's kind of like almost a meme on the Mac Rumors forums, is how fucking long they take to update. Like, it doesn't even matter if it's a point release. It sits there, and that the little dial, it like it goes like on a circle, like these little loading bars around the watch face with the Apple logo in the middle, and it will actually get to a certain point, and then it'll go back. It'll backtrack. And then it'll, I'm not kidding. I've seen it happen.
Tricked you.
It's like, oh, we got this part done, but wait, now this part needs to get, and so it's totally, you can't tell what's going on during the update process either. And there's no status indication in the Apple Watch app on the iPhone. So you have to be sitting there looking at the Apple Watch to see how far along it's done updating. There's no ETA, there's no percentage. It just little bars. That's it. So it's really annoying. It took me, when watchOS 4 came out, it took like almost 2 hours to update. I had to take it off the charger and put it back on my wrist so I could head back to work after I was like on a lunch break or whatever. Like, I started the process when I was at work, left for lunch. It was still updating. Put it in the charger at my house. Left and went back to work, and it was on my wrist to finish updating.
Wow. Yeah, they have an I/O problem, because transferring that stuff wirelessly,
Bluetooth is a problem.
Well, it's not always Bluetooth. It decides for itself. During the update process, I'm sure it just goes full blast with Wi-Fi, but the apps, when they're communicating with the phone, the Apple Watch or the iPhone, one or the other, decides what they're going to communicate over. And
I thought the Apple Watch couldn't do Bluetooth, or it couldn't do downloads over the built-in Wi-Fi unless it was on a network that you already had memorized on your iPhone. Like, it was already, you already had the SSID plugged into it.
I mean, maybe, but my understanding, because of Marco Arment, the guy that makes Overcast, he makes, anyway, his Overcast podcast app had an Apple Watch app, but he got fed up with how the Apple Watch would just decide on its own whether it's going to use Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. So he tried to come up with all these hacks where he'd divide a podcast up into 50 segments and then ultra compress it so that it's like, so it sounds like shit, and then send the 50 segments back to the watch so that it would actually go fast even if it was on Bluetooth. But it still took too long. So he basically gave up.
Well, that's good to know. So now there's no point to using... Maybe that's the problem with the fucking controls. Because it's giving me the Overcast thing on my Apple Watch.
It's gone, though. You know, how do you have it?
I think I've still got the app. Unless they removed it. Like,
the latest update would have removed it.
Let me grab my watch. Hold on, talk for a second.
All right.
When you say you want to lick whipped cream off my cold, dead skin while your sister...
You know what? I probably shouldn't play that because people...
Okay.
People might have it on speaker. I didn't know what else to say, so I panicked and played the rest of that Pornhub
video. I've got the Overcast app right here.
That's weird, because he definitely removed it. Do you not have automatic updates for your apps enabled?
Maybe not. Let me see.
And if he removed it from his...
Oh, one thing I was going to say that's weird about the Apple Watch, now that I have it in front of me, the way that they changed the dock, I do not like. It's buggy and laggy, and it craps out. It's like a opposite version. It's like if you were, you know, you cycle through your apps on your iPhone, how you go left to right to cycle through them. In this one, it's up to down, up and down.
For the scroll wheel.
Yeah. No, you can tap it and drag and or slide up and down. And the problem with it is like you can't, the text is so small that if you have all the windows have the same gray background, the darkish black, it's between black and gray, the background of each of the little applet windows, because they're not, I don't know if they're apps, but like the settings and stuff like that.
Some
like
are.
And you go through time, you know, and so the text is so small that unless you're looking up close at it, you can't even tell what you're looking at. Before, it was like it would cycle through. It was kind of clunky too the way before, but it had the full screen image of what the app you wanted, and then you could cycle left to right through them. So it took longer to get through the cycled dashboard. It took longer to cycle through the dashboard before. This way is faster. This way it's just harder to see.
So did the old way use the app icon and the new way uses the last visible screen?
No, the old way it would take like the... So if you're in the app, like I'm in the timer, it would almost be like a full screen window of that app that you could cycle through instead of like these zoomed out, almost like looks like folders you're going through with a new way. Let me see if I can find a picture of the old dock so you can see what I'm talking about.
I remember that they decided to vertically stack all of them in the update.
Okay, so here's what I'm talking about.
Channel, Nate, link to 9to5 macfileswordpress.com.
It has little dots on the bottom.
Yeah, you sent me... It basically puts a frame around the app, and it clearly indicates the map or the app icon and name at the top. There's a frame around the app, which basically just like shrunk down by half the size. And then you go through each one of those little pages to look at the app one at a time. The old way.
Yeah, because see, what this does now is there's nothing in the foreground when you're cycling through them. You have three tabs, basically, at a time. You have the one in the middle that's the biggest, and then you have the one on the bottom and the one on the top. So you've got text for different apps going from the top to bottom. If you're just glancing at it, you're better off with, the original dock than the new one. But the new one is more functional, though, because you could cycle through them way faster. I don't know. It's more fluid, I guess. It looks better. I don't know.
These little devices are the future of quick little communications.
They didn't really add anything. Like, there's no new features with this new version of watchOS. The biggest thing that they added in watchOS 3, and I use it all the time, is the ability where you can send a message just by drawing the characters on the screen. And you could draw, if you draw it like write really fast, you can do whole words too. So it's really handy. Like when I'm at a client's or something and it's unprofessional for me to have my phone out, I could respond and send a text really quickly. I mean, sometimes it's annoying because like it'll mistake the character you're drawing for something else. Like an S will be a 5 or a Z will be a 2. But for the most part, it works really well. What else?
I think watchOS 4 brings some new operating system technologies so that the native applications on the phone or on the Apple Watch, because of the added LTE, they'll be able to fetch things on their own versus generally requiring the phone. In the very beginning, before they had native applications on the watch. They were basically remotes that went to the app on the phone. And since then, those have basically been deprecated. Like, those still might exist, but not for long. The rest of the apps, they run natively on the phone. And I think that the file system I/O is really limited. So that little flash memory module in there is probably like ultra low power. And you can only have like 10 apps loaded in RAM. And I'm assuming they're in RAM because having slow flash memory explains why the updates take 2 hours and why loading an app that's not already in your quote unquote dock, why it takes so long. Because it can take like 3 seconds to launch a watch app sometimes.
Yeah, I don't even really bother with third-party apps anymore other than like controls for the apps for controlling Overcast and stuff like that. Speaking of podcast apps, have you used the new... I don't even know what they changed with it in iOS 11, but the podcast, the built-in Apple Podcasts app.
I just used it recently. They're going to start giving stats on podcasts.
So there's going to be incentive to use this then.
Well, the last time I could check through Squarespace, I was able to see that most of the hits were through the podcast app. And then the next best one was like maybe Overcast. I can't tell anymore. It's been a while since they stopped listing RSS feed readers.
Does the podcast app suck any less now?
I don't know. It doesn't have as high resolution of a fast forward slider like Overcast. Overcast has a really fine grained fast forward slider, and I'm actually used to that now. That makes a difference. There's a difference between 1.5 times and 2 times. And some people you can't listen to at 2x, but you can listen to them at 1.7. And then on top of that, Overcast has the ability to basically skip or fast forward over dead air, which is particularly good for this show. I've saved 465 hours of dead air because of Overcast.
There's the search, I could tell you right off the bat, in the new podcast app is way better than Overcast's.
That's a different directory. The Overcast directory is its own list.
It's instant, like when I'm looking for it. All I have to type is the first word, and I've already found, like, I've just added, subscribed to 2 podcasts that I like.
I had an issue with it.
Go ahead.
Try and look up the Frontier podcast. It's like it's not listed.
The Frontier Podcast.
Just Frontier Podcast. It's definitely in their directory in iTunes still, which is the podcast apps directory.
Shows, see all.
Frontier. Yeah, shows, see all.
Yeah, it's not in here.
What the fuck is that? Do I need to get relisted? I know I just signed in to the iTunes Connect portal. It's all in there. They don't give stats yet. Very strange. That's a problem, though, because this is where people look up the podcast. They're not opening fucking iTunes on their desktop anymore.
Yeah.
Let me check iTunes. It's still loading, by the way. Still loading. This is on an SSD. This is incredible. Incredible technology. Still loading. Out there, the page is loading. Okay. Frontier. It's loading. There we go. Star Trek Frontier. Why all the Star Trek stuff? We've talked about Star Trek a couple of times. There it is. Frontier Podcast. Real sense.
There's a new Star Trek TV series that started recently. Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, isn't there one on YouTube also?
This is like a real one. I think it's CBS does this one.
Star Trek.
The problem with Trek, though, at least in the modern sense, did you see the newest one? The one that came out last year? The movie?
Remind me.
What Star was Trek that? Beyond?
Yeah.
It was that movie was exceptionally well made, and it nailed the whole Star Trek. That movie particularly, out of the three new remakes, nailed the whole social interactions with alien beings and stuff like that, kind of what the core of Star Trek really is. But they fucking worked in the social justice crap into the story, and they made Sulu gay. Even though the original Sulu, George Takei, is gay in real life, but the guy, the new version of him, the younger guy, they made him gay in Star Trek. Just for the sake of, like, and they made it like this spectacle of a scene in it. It was kind of like, it was just supposed to like a moment, it was like a moment that was supposed to like make you have emotional reaction to it, and it just came off as very forced. So there was that, and then there was like some, there's kind of like this almost communist kind of like messaging in it. I don't know if you took it the same way I did, but I could see that being expanded tenfold in the CBS televised version.
I'm trying to find the trailer for it. Star Trek Discovery pilot episode.
It's on CBS.
John C. Dvorak was complaining about the new Star Trek.
Maybe he watched it in one recent episode?
Yeah, they were talking about, on No Agenda, they were talking about Star Trek Discovery.
Okay, yeah, so he watched it then. It's on CBS.
He called it something like Star Trek Black Lives Matter or something?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. They're trying to make social justice because they're playing off the whole, because it is Star Trek, going back to the original series, you know, the classic series, was all about social interactions with alien beings. It's about diplomacy, you know, like trying to create relationships with beings that have never met humans or anything like that before. And so they're taking that and then they're twisting it into like some sort of social justice crap.
Strange.
Every good series is going to get ruined. Everything. Star Trek was kind of, or Star Wars has already kind of been ruined.
Let's look it up. Let's see. Star Trek Discovery. Let's see if it's Chinese. There's a huge problem with Chinese films.
The director of Star Trek Beyond, I think, was Chinese.
Yeah, that's not good enough, though. I need to follow the money. So let's consult the book of knowledge. Let's find out. Wikipedia? I'm looking to see if STX was involved or if there's any money coming from the UAE. Because I just watched that new Lego movie. Lego whatever Ninjago. Which, yeah, it looked bad, but turns out it was a giant piece of shit.
Yeah, the new one.
Because it's
Ninjago.
It's tone deaf. It's a tone deaf Chinese film. They invest in a bunch of US studios, and it's like they're just taking the money because they're suckers and they make these tax break films, I hope. Otherwise, they're trying to inject the Chinese formula into US culture, but the films are so fucking off. They're like, you're like, why? I'm offended that I'm even watching this.
Yeah, some of the scenes are so dumb. I had problems with the Batman one. There was some scenes in it that were just like...
Yeah, but the Batman one I don't think was Chinese money.
No, but I'm just saying the whole... They're taking the formula in this one, this newest one, they're taking the formula of the two movies and making it even more stupid. because they don't have any originality.
There's anymore. No plot in this one. The movie starts. It starts in China.
So you saw it?
I saw it, unfortunately. We were the only two people in the theater. That's how shit this movie is. And yet we stayed. The whole movie was like samurais and stuff. It just starts like right away into action. And then it ends. Hmm. The whole thing is Chinese centric. All the trailers before were like really weird. You're watching it. You're like, wow, this trailer's still going. What is this even about? There's like all these little animals rolling around on screen. What am I watching? There seems to be no direction to this. And then sure enough, real fast, they flash up the production company names. And there's some little Chinese scribbly shit in the corner. All of the trailers were Chinese. But they're adapting. They're not adapting Chinese films to go to the US. But it's, I don't know. They put their money in the system. And then they, either the films just, they don't care about them. So they let them, they just give them to people doing odd jobs to complete the movie. Or they bring their own people on board to make the film. But if it's weird,
like a flop either way.
If you're scratching your head as to why this is still, why you're still watching this scene, look into it. And I bet you that there is money from the UAE or China in there. Like what movie just came out with, it's called The Circle.
Kingsman, Golden Circle?
No, The Circle. Here you go. This movie definitely has China all over it. Look up the reviews for this movie.
They're terrible.
Read some of the reviews.
I think this is one of Tom Cruise's or Tom Hanks's worst movies.
I'm sure you can find a funny review on the internet for this.
STX Films.
STX Films, there you go. Chinese film company.
It says they're based in Burbank, though.
That's for tax reasons. They're a Chinese film company. I did all my research on them a year ago. They bought the rights to the Russian-produced film. What's the thing with the helmet-mounted camera? And they're like running around shooting at people?
GoPro? I don't know.
Okay, I'll just look it up. STX Films, go to their website, STX Entertainment. You can tell they've bought into a bunch of movies. Investors, it's the top link there. Where's this? Is probably gonna take down my whole recording because their site's really slow. Got all this video playing on it. I'm trying to find their films. They used to have a list. It's like called Bob or something. Fuck. Hardcore Henry.
Oh yeah,
Henry.
Okay.
Yeah, they bought Hardcore Henry. Those guys were Russian, and they did that really cool movie, that really cool music video where the guys were like fighting in an office. It starts out, and the guy's getting kidnapped, and there's somebody holding a Makarov to his head, and they want this like teleportation device, and every time it touches water, they teleport somewhere. So the dog like charges them. Anyway, escapes the office building. He's driving in a car, leaps from one car to another, climbs a building, teleports to some like empty Russian airplane graveyard, tries to find, he fights some guy because he was touching him, so he teleported with him. Gets teleported again. He's on a boat with some naked women, and they push him in the water, which causes the thing to teleport him again. Then he's like in the snow. And the snow's wet, so he teleports again. And then the music video ends with like a baby touching it, and then the kid just disappears because he fell through the roof of a building. I'll put it in the show notes. You've watched this before. I just don't think you're paying attention. Something like,
I mean, I knew what Hardcore Henry was, we were talking about before, but I, yeah.
Bad Motherfucker, that's what it's called. Bad Motherfucker song. So these guys grew... Where's the music video? Why does YouTube not let you type those words in. It doesn't autocomplete. Biting elbows, bad motherfucker. Here. Gotta crank the music up. So he starts with like a, I don't know, some type of Russian gun pointing at his face. Shoots the guy next to him. They take the device. Now they're gonna sick the dog on him. It's gonna torture him.
Okay.
And he flings the dog out of the office building. So they use the really fast head pan with the camera system, which is probably a GoPro. They use that for doing jump cuts. So it looks like it's all one continuous shot. The guy swings his head really fast, pulls out an AK-47, but during the head swing, like, he can shoot, or like the gun shakes and they can do a jump cut and put blood on the guy, whatever it takes. A lot of it is live action, but I'm sure it took multiple shots. All the hits, for example. I'm just gonna turn this down. They made Hardcore Henry. STX bought it. They made it happen, and then they got it distributed throughout the US. And the headquarters for STX is, like, they go out of their way to put all white people on their website. The headquarters is in like Hong Kong or something. Their whole website got redone. There's a STX China, stxentertainment.cn. Well, if the movies keep becoming turds, the problem will solve itself.
Right. Good movies flop oftentimes. It's because they don't have the right marketing or something, or any, you know, the right promotion. The Blade Runner sequel comes out next week. That I can't wait for.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
The early reviews say it's really good, but I can't trust early reviews. I have a feeling it's going to be really good because Harrison Ford wouldn't be in it if it was going to suck. That's kind of like the reassurance to me. And the director is really good too. Every movie he's made has been really good.
I wouldn't be that reassured about having celebrities that you know in movies.
I want to see that new Tom Cruise movie too, where he plays the guy that was importing cocaine in the US and the cartel killed him.
Yeah, he plays Barry Seal.
Barry Seal, yeah.
That's what the kids on the track is about. That was Clinton's state when he was governor, mayor, whatever he was. Barry Seal was smuggling cocaine into Arkansas when Clinton was running it. And these two kids were, they both decided, this is the official story, they both decided they were going to commit suicide by laying on the tracks at the same time. In front of a train.
Yeah, I remember this story vaguely.
Yeah. So, all the people in the town are like, fuck that, that's not what happened. They stumbled on an airdrop of something. Obviously, now we know it was Barry Seal's cocaine. And they got killed. He worked for every OGA, DEA, State Department, CIA. He was a double triple agent. He was a quad agent. He was working everybody.
Right.
Made a ton of money, got mowed down by a little like 14-year-old kid on an Uzi or on a moped with an Uzi.
He was in Louisiana, Baton Rouge.
Yeah, she got cut down.
It's interesting. How great would that movie be though if they like had scenes with the Clinton, with the Bill Clinton and stuff.
That would be pretty funny. They're not going to do that, though.
Of course not.
You see what happens when people talk about that? They just get, they lose their job. Just stay away from hot tubs and small aviation.
Tom Cruise is a perfect typecast for that role. Eccentric cocaine smuggler.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to play that off. Because I read Killing Pablo. Unfortunately, that author, Mark Bowden, turned into a hagiographer and wrote this. Hagiography is the best description for it, I guess. This hagiography for Obama. And I'm trying to remember the name of the book, but it was about killing Osama bin Laden. And the whole thing is just like just sucking his dick. Unlike Killing Pablo, which actually has research done and talks about like counterpoints and what other agencies were doing. Whatever the book is called, the Osama Obama book. It was just the official story. It never deviates from that path. It was really bad. It was a sad book. And Killing Pablo was actually made into a Netflix series, or a series that is on Netflix. They have the series called Pablo on Netflix, which is original. There's several. They
have Narcos, yeah. About Pablo Escobar. I think that series ended, though, didn't it? Because they killed him already?
I don't know. They found out that once they got rid of him, it just turned into even more cartels. And every time they took out another leader, it turned into more cartels.
Or no, I know what. They stopped filming it because of the shit going on in Mexico. I think one of their cast members, or one of their filmographers got murdered there.
No way.
Yeah.
That sounds like such bullshit. I can't believe any story related to a Netflix series. Because most of their budget goes into marketing.
Yeah. Well, but getting murdered in Mexico, that's pretty common. Place is a fucking hellhole. You're not getting... You're having your house fall on you in an earthquake.
It's not that common.
Not in Mexico City, but in the outer areas, close to the border, it's...
No, I mean getting murdered.
There's graphic pictures online. They do the most depraved shit. They skin people alive and then they torture them.
Yeah, and they put your balls in your mouth.
They chop up bodies and then they throw the limbs out the windows of the car on the freeway.
Have you watched Ozark?
Pictures of limbs and shit all over the road. No, I haven't.
That's about money laundering and drugs. It's a Netflix original.
Oh yeah, with Michael Bluth.
Yeah. Something Bateman?
Yeah, I heard he's really the show's really good and he's good in it.
Jason Bateman? I think that's
Jason
his name.
Bateman, yeah.
He's really good. And they cut a guy's eyes out of his head and they put him in a baggie as a reminder. And then they use that later on to basically say, "Memento mori. Remember, you will die. You got to get your job done." So they preserved the eyes for a couple of years just for that message. Anyway, really good Netflix series. And according to Roadhouse, those are real people and the lake is spot on. That's what it's really like. He knows people.
So it's based
just like
on
the,
real people.
That's it. They're just types, and they're like the real type of person that would be in that area, according to our inside man.
Hmm. Interesting.
Do you have any AT&T horror stories?
Not other than I just hate them. No horror stories. I just hate them. That's all I can say about them. Did you see it? You didn't see it yet, did you?
No. I don't want to do that to myself.
Should have seen that instead of the shitty Lego movie. It's not that. I've seen way freakier movies. It was just kind of like, if you got an irrational fear of clowns, then I can get it, but clowns don't really scare me. They're just kind of weird. Like, I want to hit them when I see clowns. Like, they're offensive to me. I mean, they're funny. They could be funny if they're doing stupid shit. Like, what was the one that would go around New York drunk and yell at people? Yucko the Clown.
Yeah, Yucko.
Like, that's funny.
That's not funny.
I think it's hilarious. He goes around drunk and yelling at people and, like, interviewing them and making fun of them.
That's just awkward.
I think it's funny. And then he gets drunk in Bourbon Street, and I think he, like, people hit him and stuff. They'll smack him. He was part of a Howard Stern act. He's, like, one of Howard Stern's, what do they call him? The Quack Pack or the Whack Pack?
Let's see. Whack I don't know, pack. But who would do that? There's people Quack on YouTube. Quack
Pack is a name given to assortment of personalities heard throughout the history of the Howard Stern show.
There's these kids on YouTube that go around and they try to get beat up by doing something weird, like going to some guy that just looks sketchy, and then they'll take his hat and run away, and then they'll stop, and then they like want him to come beat them up. And these obnoxious little faggots practically get erect by getting their ass beat. Bizarre YouTube stuff. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yucko the Clown.
I think H3H3 does some videos making fun of those guys. Have you ever heard of PewDiePie?
Yeah.
That faggot on YouTube?
Yeah. Calls people the N-word. I think he lost a bunch of his endorsements.
He said it once, or who cares?
He got in trouble before he had some endorsement deal with... He got some endorsement deal with Disney. I don't know how. I think he was going to create some channel on YouTube, or his existing channel, and he was referring to someone... I don't know if it was someone that was like commenting on him, but he dropped the N-word, and I guess they pulled whatever deal they had with him.
Sucks to have advertisers.
Disney severs ties with YouTube star PewDiePie over anti-Semitic videos. So maybe it wasn't the N-word that did it?
That was a different set of videos. He made some Jew reference. Anyway, he got shit from SJWs for that. And then one of the guys that worked on the game Firewatch, one of the owners, I don't know, some of the management that made Firewatch, which was created by Panic Inc. They did a cease and desist on his videos promoting their game. Because he said a bad word. So that's a strike against his YouTube page. And then the management of Campo Santo, or whatever the hell they're called, the guys that I guess made the game part of the game, I don't know where Panic came in. He's like, he wants other companies to try to send C&Ds to this guy to take his YouTube page down so that he doesn't get any ad revenue through streaming games, and so that his YouTube account gets deleted, basically. Or put in limbo so he can't produce anything or make any ad money. So he's getting attacked from all sides. Guess who is on mostvulnerable.com? Remember, mostvulnerable.com, the information page I set up, got blocked after I added somebody new to it. Guess who it was that I added on there?
I don't know.
Panic. Panic Inc. makes Transmit and Coda, and they installed Handbrake. This is the third time I've discussed this. Handbrake didn't have any cryptographic signatures to authenticate their downloads, so you have no idea who made the app you just downloaded. So they ran the installer. It stole all their source, all of the guys at Panic Inc. It stole their source code, their SSH keys to all their servers, the authentication tokens to the personal access tokens to their Git repos. it owned them thoroughly. They just grabbed their ankles and took it. And they made a big blog post about it, big stink about it, put the FBI on it. So I was like, all right, Handbrake now has PGP keys, so I'm going to put them on the redeemed section of the page. But you know who goes in the lowest standard section? Panic, because of Transmit and Coda. Those assholes didn't have cryptographic signatures, so now that their website's basically owned, because the guy has root access to their servers, you don't know what you're downloading. You don't know that the version you're downloading was the one from them. Within weeks, mostvulnerable.com got blocked by Google as a malicious or deceptive website, which of course I just reported as this is just an information page being censored, and it's been unblocked ever since. But odd coincidence there. I do business with these schmucks.
So what do you do about that now?
Find an alternative. I don't know. They make really good software. They're kind of famous for making some of the best Mac apps, and they make some really good iOS apps.
Yeah, Handbrake was the only one that sounded familiar to me.
Well, they don't make Handbrake. They used, somebody in their office used Handbrake to rip a DVD. One of their developers was ripping a DVD with Handbrake. Like, who even has a DVD reader nowadays? And by installing that, typing in his password, it exfiltrated everything. Keychain, SSH keys. It's like CCleaner from Avast. Do you ever install CCleaner on clients' computers or your own?
I haven't used that in a long time. CCleaner we used to use. We have our own kind of custom tailored software. It's an anti-malware suite that we have. It's called D7. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No. I'm not seeing anything when I Google it. It's a musical chord.
D7, it's the first thing.
D7 antivirus, okay.
Foolishit.com.
Fool shit?
Foolish IT.
I know, but it's like having a website.
Foolish shit, yeah, foolish shit. That's funny.
Foolish shit. Foolish shit.com.
That's funny.
It's like Island Exchange. What is the domain? Yeah, Island Exchange, but if you read it wrong, it's Island Sexchange.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those domain names.
Islands Exchange.
Island Sexchange.
Oh, man.
So, where is this guy?
I think this is just a guy's projects that he maintains, but all of the applications that are in it are made by other companies. So it has Malwarebytes, it has ADW Cleaner, which is owned by Malwarebytes, it has it used to do I think Conboot you could do as part of it at one point. We don't do that anymore because Conboot usually fucks up more than it fixes.
Development this is pretty discontinued. Good,
though. This goes through a... Well, it doesn't matter because the utilities... Only updating the individual utilities is all that matters. This is just a program that lets you run a series of utilities, and it basically goes through Windows and it disable... It'll like repair the Winsock for Winsock errors. It'll disable or repair the Windows firewall to repair Windows updates. It'll do like all of the pre and post malware removal stuff, and you can pick and choose what you want to run, and you can set a profile for that. If that makes sense.
I think so. This guy is still developing it. His website's just a mess. I'm not sure how to read this, but it looks like there's like a D7.2 and then a D7.10.
There's a D7, D7 2, X. And 3, I think. Or maybe it's C7.2 version 3. I don't know.
Well, anybody who installed CCleaner installed malware because of a watering hole attack. Same thing that worked against Panic when they installed Handbrake. Same thing that happened to everybody who auto-updated their version of Transmission, the BitTorrent client. And this particular exploit in CCleaner was some shitty malware that didn't really do anything, because all it was meant to do was see what it was meant to phone home. And then if it came from a domain that was like Cisco or Dell, or just name a large company, then it would download a second stage, the second payload, and infect the system with the real malware, which would then exfiltrate anything they need from that company. So they use the watering hole attack to hit a commonly downloaded tool where you download something and there's no cryptographic signature to authenticate that the software came from who made it. All with the off chance that they can infect somebody from Cisco, Apple, Microsoft, some large company, Adobe. Cisco and Adobe were some of the ones targeted. And if the IP that phones home comes from their corporate office, they try to take everything out of that business. All their secrets. Pretty good model. Textbook watering hole attack. Perfect playbook.
Yeah. I don't have anything else.
Yeah, I'm done. Bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. Bringyourwallet.com/donate. So that, what was it that I needed or you needed?
A new fan.
For the new fan. Bringyourwallet.com/donate. So that we can get a new fan. It should only be like $20. See you next
time. Yeah. Sayonara.